made with assistance from the Community Broadcasting Foundation and heard around the world online.
You're listening to Zed Games, where we bring you the best in gaming news, reviews, community and culture.
Want to get in touch? Be sure to check us out on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
Hello. Hi. Hello. Welcome to Zed Games. This is always an experience.
Hi, I'm a walking disaster. How are you doing?
Millie, you're doing a great job on the desk. What a great start. For what it's worth, it's not as bad as that time that I was like, welcome to Zed Games. And then, like, the button for the person on air didn't exist. And I was like, where did that go? You are listening to Zed Games, where we make radio disasters sound smooth.
Somehow.
My name is Jack.
Smooth TM.
And I'm with Millie.
Hi.
Who is making Radio Nightmares sound smooth.
No.
And Kate.
Hi.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah, it's just the three of us today because we've kicked Adrian out. And
Caitlin's still in Japan.
And Caitlin's still in Japan, living her life.
How dare she? She's in Asakusa and she's looking at all of the temples and all the rest of it.
And she was like,
having so much fun.
She posted she was wearing like a kimono today and I was like...
Looking so cute in those...
Like, her and her partner looked adorable and they were like eating cute food. I was like, Caitlin, stop.
I will say the one thing about Kate that I... Caitlin's partner that I don't really endorse is the fact that she's flossing in a lot of the stories, and I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Bring that back.
See, no. I still think of like dental flossing every time anyone
mentions you're like, why are you flossing on the Instagram story?
Yeah, she's just
I'm going to start doing that.
Do it, Kate. I'll support you all the way.
Coming up on the show, we are going to be talking about... what are we talking about? Yoshi. That's what we're talking about.
Yoshi.
I've been playing Yoshi's Crafted World. You're keen to play it.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm so excited.
You're going to be playing it. Also, Adrian spoke with... voice actor for every goddamn video game you've ever played. Troy Baker. So that's going to be coming up a little bit later on. But first, we're going to talk a little bit about Supernova.
Yes, that was last weekend.
Yes.
And it was pretty great. I cosplayed with my dad again.
Yeah.
And we were Hank and Connor. And
Become Human.
Detroit, my life. Don't judge me too harshly. But yeah, it was great. I had to put contacts in again, and it took me 2 hours.
Look, it's uncomfortable.
I have really small eyes.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Fair. I got tiny little eyelids, and they're just like, no.
Nope, they're not going
No. I got to meet up with my cosplay idols, Gazzardi Art.
Mm.
I love them so much. And I mentioned that I'd talk about them on radio this week, so I might have to link them, a little cheeky link. I love you guys so much.
Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Yeah, Gazzardi Art.
At ZedGamesAU. We might end up dropping some cheeky links, because I guess they put out a lot of good work.
Oh, they do. They're like the most beautiful men, who are women also.
People.
Like, they're sisters, they're twin sisters, but they mainly cosplay men.
So I love that.
They've cosplayed your boy, Prompto.
God. It always happens. It's always like the...
It's your boy.
It's always the Fujoshis that get on board.
Okay.
And I'm like, you'll need to stop making me thirsty.
No, always. I found them because they cosplayed Link and Dark Link, and I was just like, oh. I was ready for it.
Because, like, these characters don't have very masculine attributes or traits. Mm. So you end up looking at them and you're like, well, that's not real.
Yeah.
But then you look at a woman cosplaying these characters and you're like, that's being pulled off.
Yeah, just
offensively
welcome
well.
Welcome to life. I love you.
Making me feel insecure. Like,
Let me marry you.
I'm a pretty boy, but God, I wish I could pull that off.
Oh, same. All right, just have a scroll through their Instagram feed. They've recently done our Devil May Cry.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, it's a top two.
Yeah, look, I can already say it's very rude.
I need to see this, too. Is this, like, androgyny appreciation?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, hugely.
I'll definitely make sure that we link it on the Facebook, Twitter, and Insta accounts.
Yeah.
Because it is very good value. But this isn't the first time that you've done Hank and Connor.
No, I did Hank and Connor last year for Brisnova.
Yeah.
2 days in a row.
We probably should mention, Supernova was on the Gold Coast
this
last weekend.
Yeah, this was Gold Nova.
Yeah.
This weekend. It's every April.
Yeah.
And it's like the only other sort of Brisbane con other than... What's the other one?
Brisbane Supernova.
Yeah, but then there's also Bris Comic Con.
Yes.
Oh, it's Comic Con. Yeah.
They're the sort of like main, you know, pop culture festival. Because there's Mad Men, but that's mainly anime and that sort of thing. So
I enjoy Mad Men.
Oh, yeah. But like for me, who's not the biggest anime weeb.
Yeah.
It's a bit more difficult.
And Adrian and I had a good time as well. We ended up working at Supernova and getting put up at the Star. It's such a hard life.
It's wholesome there, isn't it? I love the Star. I went there for my anniversary and it's just phenomenal.
It's offensively lush.
Did you walk through the Darling? The connected
No, we didn't.
The Darling is even more lush. They make that for dignitaries who go there.
But we ended up staying
like
at
us.
Another...
Like us.
Dignitaries. We ended up staying at another place, which was on the other side of the Gold Coast Highway, and we're on the 33rd floor of this high-rise apartment building. Definitely... partying is the word, the safe word I'm going to use there. And you look out over the balcony and you see on your left, you have the waves coming in. It's like 9, 10, 11 at night. You see the waves coming in, pitch black at night. You look straight ahead. You see the entire Gold Coast Strip.
That's amazing.
It's so good. But Supernova itself was also a good show. Like they had, obviously, Troy Baker, Nolan North.
Yeah, he
from
was there.
All the other goddamn video games you've ever played. And then Mercy's voice actor,
yeah,
Lucio's voice
there.
Actor. They were both sweethearts. Mercy said that I didn't have a very Australian accent.
I saw
and
that
I
on
was
your
like,
Twitter.
You are my favourite person.
I mean, you don't, honestly.
Oh!
You really don't compared to me.
Yeah, I mean, the difference is like most Australians don't articulate. So when you do, you automatically sound more, you know,
you sound
professional.
Like a bit of a wanker.
Yeah but less Australian.
I don't pronounce no words, so, you know.
Oh, disgusting.
I don't know. I feel like I could talk really quickly and no one really understand what I'm talking about, you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's
yeah.
like...
In Australia.
You know.
Have you got any cosplays planned for Brisnova?
Oh, heck yeah, I do.
Same one?
No.
Ooh.
Hank and Connor are in retirement at the moment. Because we've done them a lot.
They deserve
so,
it.
Yeah, they deserve it. They deserve a happy life together, married.
Yes.
Don't judge me.
Yes.
So, yeah, Brisnova is in November, and I will be cosplaying with my dad again. Ralsei and Susie from Deltarune, which I'm sure we'll cover eventually.
Yes.
And the father and Jacob Seed from Far Cry 5.
Oh, so good, because you've basically already done it in the studio.
Yeah, I already have. But this time, I'm going to be a man.
Blokes world.
I'm going to have a beard. But it's really exciting because everyone I've sort of spoken to about doing Far Cry 5 cosplay and... they're like, oh my god, it's like my favorite game ever. So it feels like this awesome bonding experience because there's not a lot of Far Cry merch out there, actually. So it's going to be awesome. And also, just putting it out there, I plan on making a little fan film in November.
Yeah, you were saying,
oh,
nice.
Yeah. I haven't spoken to you about it, Kate, so I'm going to mention it on air. Nice little Far Cry fan film. Mm. I'd like you to be my faith, if
ooh,
that's
okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is yet, but I'll find out.
I'm in there. Like, I'll do it.
Yeah, look it up. Other than that, that's sort of like the main plan.
Cool.
But I have Supernova, if you're listening.
Oh, here we go.
I have a little gripe.
Let's talk.
And it needs to follow in the way of what some American cons have done. American cons have now had rules about entrance. They need to bathe.
Yeah.
They need to be dressed appropriately.
No, TwitchCon very pointedly has it that you need to take care of your own hygiene.
That
they
is
give
awesome.
You deodorant and they yeah. give you, I think, gum or mints yeah. or something. Like, it's yeah. important.
Even a Yu-Gi-Oh! Like game, like trading card tournament, like they had you need to wash on the rules.
Dude, Smash tourneys need that.
Yeah, we need to follow these rules. Now, I'm deadly, I know it sounds like a joke, but I'm deadly serious because this convention at Gold Nova last weekend, it was disgusting.
Look,
there was so many men that... stunk. We were stuck behind them.
I don't think it was quite that bad, but I will say, when we were outdoors, so we're going around the loop to like the, kind of that skywalk across the river.
Yeah.
And before we get on the skywalk, we're walking basically adjacent to the convention center, and we basically get this mad hit of BO, and Adrian's like, Jesus, did we actually just get hit with that? And I'm like, yeah we did.
Yeah.
Outside.
Yeah.
Outside. How does that...
Yeah, so most of the time, me and my dad were outside the convention floor because it stunk so bad.
Yeah.
And that was only day two. Like, that's what I'm saying. We need to have these regulations in place. At least, like,
it's
free kinda, deodorant or something.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Because it was repulsive. Some of these men, like, they turned up, like, wearing no shoes with, like, shorts with holes in them and, like, greasy and, like, they wanted to touch you. And it's
you're
like,
a cosplay.
In cosplay.
Yeah.
And, like, even though I'm dressed as a man, a lot of them still approached me and went...
mouth breathing.
And I just... At least if you're going to mouth breathe on me, brush your teeth.
That's fair. I will say, Supernova, in my mind, has always been a family-oriented con, right?
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
Generally, yeah.
But even then, you have a lot of people rocking up that maybe aren't.
Adult children is something that is very common at Supernova.
Yeah, man
and
children.
And I put that very delicately because you can have an adult child for many reasons, not all within the control of the, you know, parents or the adult.
Mm.
And so it's one of those things where it's more inclusive, but it does kind of lax on, you know, not so much rules and regulations because obviously it's a con for cosplayers and it is important that people don't just go up and touch people.
Yeah.
And that's something that really got spoken a lot about at AvCon.
Yeah,
that's right. In their rules. Yeah. You can't touch.
That's on the pass, ask. On the badge itself.
Yeah. You can't take photos without permission. Mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch of things that I think a lot of cons really need to be very crystal clear about.
Hugely.
Because conventions are a place where they only happen once a year.
Yeah.
It's very easy to act up and get excited. And there's nothing wrong with getting excited, but knowing the context in which excitement is, you know, okay, and where it's really not. And I think
I will say most people who approach me, they did ask first, like, do you mind if I have a photo with you guys? Do you mind if I put my arm around you? That sort of thing. Like, that's completely good. Normal, but I will say most of those people were women. A lot of the sort of male would just sort of come up to you and like shove a camera in your face, and it's like, stop. I had that especially when me and my dad were dressed as Pickle Rick. You can laugh. I know. we had a good time. But that because Rick and Morty was very popular at the time with a predominantly male fan base,
true.
A lot of males would just come up to us and just have a phone out. And we're like, excuse me, we're like, you know, walking
humans?
Here. Like, do you want a photo? And they're like, oh, yeah, I've already taken it. It's like, well, no, you have to ask to take a photo because this is our costume. We worked on it.
Yeah
we're dressed as a pickle. But we still worked on it, and you
and
need
also,
to talk
you're
to us.
Humans?
And don't just take random photos of us when we're like, ugh. It's like,
you're not,
come on, normal common sense. And like, even if we're having a photo done already by someone else, because we had our eyes shut, some neckbeard would come up. I know neckbeard's a bit of a controversial word, but that's all I had. They came up and just took a photo anyway. It's like you didn't consent. This person did. It's like, ask us.
Yeah.
And I noticed that was actually pretty good because there was a dragon at Golden Nova this year, one of Daenerys' dragons. And a lot of people were coming up and saying, hey, can I have a photo? Because it's just standing there. And they're like, yeah, sure, keep going. But they handed out cards. So that way the handlers, I guess, could, you know, keep track on who's asked because they handed out a business card.
But not everyone obviously has that sort of resource. Yeah, it's unfortunate that you need those kinds of resources to pull that off effectively.
I know.
But, yeah.
But that's just a thing that I think Supernova needs to sort of nip in the bud before it gets bad. Before, like, I think some cosplayers have been touched in the past, especially if they're dressed in, you know, one of those suggestive costumes. Like, you know.
You kind of hope that Supernova would have a bit of a grasp on it already because it's been around for nearly 20 years now.
They do. I think in the regulations they do, but I feel like it needs to be a sign like was at a lot of other conventions in America. One of the big signs that says cosplay is not consent.
Yes.
Oh,
that's AvCon
that.
Had that as well.
I love that.
Yeah, just one, just a big sign in front of both those entrances. Any entrance you go in, cosplay is not consent. You know, please be hygienic. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like, not even just wash your butt. Like, just please be hygienic.
Please practice good hygiene.
Yeah, please practice good hygiene. That sort of thing. Because
there are dress codes at some cons as well, from my understanding. So for people not wearing shoes, that shouldn't be allowed because it's not safe.
It's not safe. And I know some costumes don't have shoes, but usually they take a pair of thongs.
Yeah.
And they get changed. Like, if they're having a photo, they just kick off the shoes quick and they put the thongs back on. So that's fine. But there definitely needs to be, like, a dress code, if not in costume. You should at least be wearing, you know, clean clothes and a shirt that fits.
It was a good con outside of those speed bumps.
I really enjoyed the convention, and I always enjoy Supernova, but again, I reckon these are just small things that need to be nipped in the bud. But
and to cosplayers as well, we will be posting that link to the cosplayers that you mentioned earlier because they put out some good work.
Definitely support them. I think they're going to start a Patreon soon.
That's exciting.
So because I spoke to them and they're like, oh no, we just, you know, don't sleep. I'm like, please start a Patreon.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Supernova Brisbane.
Heck yeah.
Hopefully you cosplay.
You that's,
do it.
That's another conversation. Prompto.
Just whip out those abs.
We will be talking very soon about Yoshi, but before that, let's have a look at the gaming headlines for this week.
Across Australian radio and across the world online, from 4ZZZ Studios in Brisbane, this is your weekly Zed Games news update. Microsoft has detailed a new Xbox One revision, but it might not be quite what you're expecting. The Xbox One S All Digital Edition shares the same hardware as the existing Xbox One S, minus a disk drive. It will retail in the US for $250, which is $50 less than the existing Xbox One S, and will include digital codes for Sea of Thieves, Minecraft, and Forza Horizon 3. Alongside this announcement, the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate will bundle the existing Game Pass and Xbox Live Gold services for $15.95 a month in Australia. Microsoft are yet to confirm Australian pricing for the Xbox One S All Digital Edition. The system architect for the PS4, Mark Cerny, has provided the first official details of the next PlayStation console in an interview with Wired. The console will be powered by new AMD processors and support ray tracing and resolutions up to 8K. Cerny also teased new 3D audio technology, hinting at a dramatically different audio experience. PS4 and PSVR games were confirmed as playable on the new console via backward compatibility. While we don't have a confirmed release date for the system yet, Cerny confirmed it won't be releasing in 2019. Queer-focused gaming outlet Gaming Magazine will launch its first issue on June 1 to the public after it was announced at the London Games Festival. The outlet's goal is to be the conduit between the LGBTQ+ community and the industry, with contributors consisting of a diverse roster from the LGBTQ+ spectrum. Robin Gray, founder of the magazine, said, "We want to celebrate that niche while also working with the community and with the industry to bring the two halves closer together, ensuring LGBTQ+ people feel welcome, included and represented within the gaming world they adore so much." And finally, the New Zealand Game Developers Conference has been confirmed as running from September 4 through 6 this year in Wellington. This conference is currently taking applications for speakers, volunteers and workshop presenters with the theme of taking care of ourselves and each other. This conference will also include a dedicated student day to help those new to the industry. That's all for now. For more gaming updates, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as @ZedGamesAU. That's Z-E-D Games AU.
I am Jack in studio with Millie and Kate right now, and we're going to bring you an interview that Adrian did at Supernova this past weekend with a voice actor in a bunch of games you're probably familiar with.
I am Troy Baker. I am an actor, and I'm here because the lovely people of Supernova thought it'd be a cool idea to meet people. And I've never been like this side of Australia. I've done Sydney, I've done Perth. I've never been. Gold Coast is beautiful.
Mm.
Even flying in. The problem, though, is we're like a stone's throw from the beach. And I woke up this morning, I was like, well, I just want to be there.
Yeah.
So all those people, the show can just meh. And then you get here and it always freaks me out because I don't expect. It's not imposter syndrome because I think that there's stuff that I've done that's been really, really good. But I never expect somebody in Australia to be like, I'm, like you said, I'm a massive fan. I'm like, how is that possible? Because I still just see myself as like the high school dork that just is into video games and comic books. So coming here and being able to, someone asked me like, how do you get through it? Do you just drink loads of coffee? And I was like, you're my coffee. Like aww. Someone coming up to me and saying, hey, this thing that you did, really meant a lot to me and had a big impact on my life, or they're cosplaying as a character that you played. Dude, that's how you get through jet lag. That's how you get through a long day of shaking hands and hugging necks and taking pictures.
Yeah. Although confirming you do still have coffee. Not just the human kind.
Yeah. There is not just human coffee.
So you mentioned, actually it's interesting you started with imposter syndrome because, I find that so fascinating. Do you find that you still struggle with that as an actor?
Yes. I think that a friend told me a long time ago, and I really love this, modesty can be the epitome of arrogance. And there's something inside us that says, oh no, people are going to find out that I'm a fraud and that I'm not really good. It's the same mentality that says, someone who gets on a flight and goes, what if this plane crashes? Like, do you know how many flights take off successfully? Why do you think the one that you're on? We want to be special.
Yeah.
We want to feel like we're outside of the system and we're above the law. And the reality is that the three words that I think people need to hear the most, even more than I love you, are you are enough. And that's something that I struggled with. I always felt like I needed to have a full band around me. I needed to complain that the script wasn't good enough or that they didn't choose the right take or they should have shot it differently. In reality, it's most people don't know who they are, but we allow them to tell us who we are. Mm. And I want my narrative to be the strongest narrative about me as possible. Because if I am dependent upon you to tell me that I'm good or that I'm bad, I'm constantly just in a mercurial identity crisis.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be that.
I love that we're going so deep so early on, but it is actually something I wanted to ask you about, because we are actually developing a little piece on some of the struggles that actors face, especially specifically unique to gaming. What are some of those challenges you think that are unique to the gaming industry when you're acting? And how do you deal with those?
Process absolutely is the biggest obstacle for most people to overcome. Because I've seen some really, really, really talented people step into the mocap volume. And I think it was Bill Nye, who they were like, here, this is going to be your mocap. So he was like, I'm not wearing that.
Right.
Well, he didn't understand that you had to. And once it was explained to him, then he was totally down. But for his character, he's like, my character would never wear that ridiculous getup. I'm like, you're right. And he won't. You, however, will, or you don't get the gig.
Like, what are these balls and dots and stuff all over me?
And it's something that I love specifically about what performance capture and in games specifically does for you, because there are roles that I've been given that I've never would have been given in film or TV, because I can, it's about what I quintessentially understand about that character and uniquely understand about that character that nobody else got. Not to say that mine was the best, it was just something that was simply different. Mm-hmm. When I went in to go audition for Joel for The Last of Us, I walked into that room and literally around the room was sat that character in just varying shades. And I almost walked out the door. Mm. And the only thing that stopped me was that the casting director goes, oh good, Troy, you're here. They're ready for you.
Awesome.
I came this close to not being in that game because of fear. But once people get past the fact that they're in a ridiculous suit or that they've got a, you know, head-mounted camera that's, you know, this close to their face, which changes the way that you interact with someone. If we're doing a very, I had to do this with Infamous, Laura Bailey, a good friend of mine, she and I, as the script dictated, had to violently make out.
How do you bust?
How do you do that? You know, so
like,
you have to overcome that. Yeah. So a lot of the things that inform an actor about their performance, whether it be the hair and makeup or the wardrobe or the set, the location. I've done a Western before and we were riding into a town that they built that looked like it was 1865, Texas. And I'm like, it's easy to be in character. I'm on a horse with a hat and I'm dirty and there's a saloon. But when all of that is, you know, a Kubrick square and it's just white and cameras are literally shooting you in 360 space and you're in a black spandex suit, it's all about theater of the mind. So the biggest obstacle is actually in a lot of ways the thing that I love most about this process is that it's only limited to my imagination. Mm.
I think you spoke just there about how you almost turned away from The Last of Us audition. One of my favorite things that I've seen, I think you were speaking at a convention somewhere, you said to treat every audition as though it's like something, a commitment you have to go to, like a family commitment, you know, and if you show face, you go there, you do it, and then you become removed from it. Do you find that's a way that allows you to deal with it much easier if you do get rejected?
Sure, because you're never rejected. Someone told me once, Glenn Morshower, if you ever get a chance to look at his stuff online, he's called The Extra Mile. He's a character actor that's been working for 3 decades now. He said, I don't call them auditions. He said that every Friday I used to play racquetball with his best friend. And on the Friday before he got married, he said his wife's parents were coming into town. He says, I can't play racquetball. I have to meet my in-laws. He didn't say I have to go audition for my in-laws. He wasn't trying out for the role of the son-in-law. It's who he was. He was going to show them who their son-in-law was. If we adopt that same attitude, if actors adopt that same attitude when they go into a meeting as opposed to an audition, you're not trying anything. You're just, hey, first of all, it requires you to do the work so that you understand something about that character that nobody else does. And you walk in and you show them what the character looks like. They can disagree with you. But your opinion and your perspective is incontrovertible. Instead of getting into that situation where you're trying to please them, I've walked into casting calls or auditions, where it was for a truck driver, and this guy showed up and he literally in the parking lot outside was like putting like muck on his face and he was wearing a wife beater and overalls because he thought that's what a truck driver looked like.
Yeah.
You don't know if that's what the producer, the director, or the wardrobe has that in mind for a truck driver. You're like, no, UPS truck driver, you're supposed to be in brown and clean cut. What are you doing? So never try to meet the expectation that's in their mind. Simply do your own work and show them what the character looks like.
Cool.
But yeah, you go in and you do your work, and that's how you never fail. Is I walked in and I showed them what the role looks like, and then I'm on to the next thing. But if every actor walks into that room understanding that nobody wants that next person that comes into that room to be the one, then the people that are trying, they have to cast that role. You're going to go off and you're going to go, you know, do a spin class or go to yoga or go to Menchie's and get some frozen yogurt. They have to cast this film, or they have to cast this game. So they want you to be the one. So when you go in with that mentality, it kind of takes some of the pressure off.
Cool. On a lighter note, speaking of characters, when you're at a fan convention like this, when you get asked to do a character, what's your favorite most sort of, what character is closest to your heart?
Oof. The character is
sorry, choose your favorite child, please.
People always ask my least favorite question, what's your favorite? I'm like, I can't pick. What's your favorite breath that you've ever taken?
Yeah, okay.
The one that I love doing the most, which is fun, is probably the Joker, just because I love the look on people's face, because they've heard it, but then they see it coming out of my face, and it's just this weird juxtaposition. But the one that is really hard is when people go, "Do Joel?" I'm like, man, that's a real dude to me. People are like, I just want to hear a line from him. I'm like, I don't understand, every line, every word that was uttered by that character was driven by so much pain and loss and premeditation. He's a very laconic person. He didn't spout off.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's that one's a little bit of a rub. But but normally it's like, if someone goes, can you do the Joker? I'm like, it's gonna fry my voice. I'm not as good as Mark Hamill.
That good raspy laugh. Yeah. Cause yeah, I've in my voice reel, I've gone to imitate that, that Mark Hamill approach.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's hard to pull off, but it's so funny.
But you watch him and he just does it effortlessly. Yeah. It's just like he's like juggling soap bubbles. It's just, it's so frustrating.
So obviously part of the fan experience for you at conventions like this is being asked to do impressions quite a bit. What are some of the more meaningful, or what's one memory that sticks out in particular to you when it comes to a fan experience you've had?
Man, one of my favorites was actually after one in Australia, and it was I had done an acoustic set the night before, and a guest comes up and they said, "Hey, I loved your show last night." I was like, "Thank you. I'm glad that you were there. There's only a handful of you that were." And she said, "You played a song," and I went home. And normally, what I would do is I have my whole kit, and I would hurt myself. And last night I didn't. And because you gave me something new to hold on to. And I still carry with me, the next time that I saw her, she gave me, this beautiful, silver, like little pill case. And she was like, this was, what she held, the instruments of her destruction. And she's like, "I want you to have this because I don't need this anymore." There are people that come up to me all the time and is like, "Thank you so much for being in this game. I love this game. I played it so many times." And those, every one of those things really, really mean a lot to me. The fact that someone waited in line, stood in line, just to tell me thank you is huge. But then every once in a while, there's those, when a fan comes up and shares something that's like, "Hey, just you as a person really meant something to me." I feel like that's what conventions are all about, is kind of to press pause on real life and go, I get to be my truest self. By maybe being in cosplay, and that's the truest version of that person, and the sense of community that you find that you can't manufacture outside these four walls.
Yeah. One of my favorite things that I've seen is Tom Felton going incognito as cosplay at a convention, not being noticed.
As who? Who did he cosplay as?
I think the Joker. Actually,
I can see him being there for sure.
So yeah, I guess like being able to go incognito like that is pretty cool. So I guess on that note, if you could wrap up, what is for you the best thing about fan conventions? Like, what would that be?
I think the best thing about the fan experiences that you get at a convention like this, I've seen people make friends for life. I believe that this environment allows people to operate in such a place of trust and bravery. to really get outside of themselves. And again, going back to the narrative, allow them to, as we've learned from Into the Spider-Verse, be the hero of your own story and really in pen, not pencil, but really begin scripting the narrative of their own life. And that comes from finding a community like this that can help you have an experience that you will remember for the rest of your life.
Awesome.
That's the best part about these conventions.
Thank you so much, man. Yeah, cheers. Thanks, you. Man.
Big love to Troy Baker, voice actor for a bunch of games that I'll dig up in a sec because Millie was curious, but we'll find out. You're listening to Zed Games.
We're here to talk about Yoshi's...
Crafted World.
I was going to say Woolly.
There has been Woolly's World and there has been...
Woolly... kind of Woolies. Sorry.
Crafted World.
Yeah, so this is a cute little game by Nintendo on the Switch. I don't know when it was released. Cringe Man.
It was like a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
it was only two or three weeks ago. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it because I've played a lot of platformers.
Yeah.
Back in my day. Platformers were all the rage.
I think we all did play a lot of platformers back in the
You were on the 64 train. I was on that PS1 train.
Yeah, man.
The good stuff.
Yeah, the
I finished
good
Spyro
stuff.
2 last night. It was very good.
I'm
liked
so
it a
proud.
Lot. Yoshi's Crafted World is a 2D platformer. It doesn't really do a whole lot new.
Actually, let me correct you.
2.5D.
Yeah, 2.5D.
2.5D. You got to harmonize. And... I feel like it fits very neatly into the almost everyone will enjoy this.
Everyone loves Yoshi is probably the best way to put it.
But the thing is, everyone loves Kirby as well.
Yeah.
Kirby, I did not enjoy.
I mean, Kirby is sort of like baby's first platformer.
It very much
is.
The
best way to put it.
Yeah. Like
Everyone loves a Kirby game because it's wholesome and easy.
Mm.
That's why you play a Kirby game because you want to relax. You don't want to pay too much attention to it. But with this one, I reckon because I accidentally played way too much
of it. You did.
Because Jack just handed me the Switch. He's like, here, play this new game. I'm like, sure. And I just played it for like 2 hours by accident.
That's me right now.
Yeah,
sorry.
Kate's playing it in the studio right now.
Oh, we can bring that up.
Where is it?
That good Orcs device. Hit that Orcs device on and bring him up. Softly that much.
You hear that cute little Yoshi noise? Can you hear him? Listen to that cutie. A blam.
Beautiful.
It's so
long.
Cute, man.
It's better with sound, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's so wholesome. See, this is what I like about the Yoshi games, is that we'll just bring that cuteness
down
so you're not completely distracted.
Yes.
Now you get to listen to my deep-ass voice.
Dupe.
I found it to be like the sort of right amount of challenge without being completely...
Absolutely.
Kirby levels of, you know, Woolly... What was Kirby's? Epic Yarn.
Oh, Epic Yarn was insane.
Yeah.
But, it's... I think the challenge is not necessarily in getting through the levels. There is enough meat in the levels to keep you entertained, but not too much for kids, right? So kids can keep up, kids can have a good time.
Yep.
If you're a little bit older... But you're not playing a whole lot of games. You might not be quite as dexterous as hardcore gamers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, like us.
Yeah, like us.
We're all fake gamers.
We're all filthy casuals.
Like, Donkey Kong Country was quite tricky for me.
Oh, hugely.
Right? Or, like, Celeste, right? Like, even more
so.
Yeah,
man.
Play that good assist mode.
Mm.
With Yoshi, the challenge is not necessarily in trying to complete the levels or trying to get a certain amount. It's trying to get everything.
Yeah. That really tickled my collector heart.
Yeah.
Because if you've listened to me enough on radio, you know how much I love Banjo-Kazooie. Like, mate, I interviewed Grant Kirkhope.
That's true.
Because, like, I love Banjo-Kazooie that much. And that game is literally collect everything the game.
Mm.
So when I was playing Yoshi, all I wanted to do was collect all those little tokens. I wanted 7 eggs behind me at all times. Like, I wanted to throw everything at the horizon to see if I could get those eggs. Like...
But it's still crafty enough that you sometimes can be like, oh, I almost did it. Like, I've got, because I ended up publishing a review online, a written review, and in that picture, I've got every single flower, because the flowers are the main sort of collectible.
Yeah.
You can pick up flowers along the way, but you also get a like extra flowers for getting at least 100 coins in a level, getting 20 hearts in a level, so max health, and getting 20 red coins in a level.
The red coins,
I've got one that it's like every single collected flower along the way. One for coins, one for health. I have 19 out of 20 red coins.
Oh my God.
I was distraught.
That feel is
but
just
it,
real.
It happens so often, right? Because you're sitting there and it's not hard. You're not rage quitting the game because there's so much challenge. The challenge is being really curious, really persistent, poking every goddamn corner in the game.
I think that's what I really still enjoy about Nintendo games. Like, I would say, like, the Wii sort of tickled that nicely.
Mm.
Like, you know, that childhood curiosity that everyone has deep down inside. Like, because it had the motion control. So everyone's like, I can swing this? Oh, my goodness. I'm, like, swinging a sword. Yeah. I'm swinging a tennis racket. The Wii U didn't do that because it gave you a dinner plate.
Dinner plate was not good.
And it wasn't good. But with the Switch version, like, I didn't play it with motion controls or anything like that, but it still gives you that sense of childhood wonder, which I really love, because it's like in that 2.5D plane.
Mm.
And you notice that there's something sort of wiggly in the background, and then you realize you can swing Yoshi around to throw something into the background, and it falls over like, you know, you play Skittles, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You throw something at it and
it, like,
just falls down with, like,
juggles in the air, and it's, like, low gravity, and you can, like, juggle it with all of your eggs. Yeah. Like, the cute stuff like that, right?
Yeah, it's just, like, one of those really nice little tickles. It's a nice little tickle of, like, hey, I remember that from childhood, you know, when you blow, like, a piece of paper around the room because you're five.
And what else did you have to do with
your
life?
You're five. That sort of thing. Yeah. Or, like, you threw something and it fell down. But, you know, it was a good fall down. Not, you know, I broke the window, Mum. Sorry.
Look, I've done that as well.
Yeah, me too.
I will say the game, the whole point of it being a crafted world, right, is that it's using a lot of, like, craft, like...
textures.
That kind of stuff. But it looks... like, part of it comes down to the art style, but I also feel like it can be quite blocky. Like, it looks a bit like a repurposed 3DS game. And when you have the 2.5D thing and you're going back and forth and then you walk out of the into the foreground or into the background and you see elements sort of scroll at a different speed, you're like, oh, this was made for 3DS.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say it started on the 3DS and then got kicked to the Switch.
Yeah, probably did.
But, yeah, you kind of get that feeling.
I would say that, yeah, I got that feeling, but when you put it on the Switch itself, not on a television.
Yes, true.
Ouch, you just broke my ears.
I'm going to blow your ears out, I swear to God.
Okay.
You don't need them, don't worry.
I don't need them.
But the Switch screen is so good, man.
The Switch screen, it just makes it so much more smoother. So you can obviously, smoother a word, I don't care.
It pops.
So you can tell it was optimized to play, like, handheld.
Yeah.
Which I think is what they were thinking, to be more of a casual game.
Mm.
Or just, you know, give it to little Billy because he wants to play the Switch, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
He's been good, so give him the Switch.
And I feel like there is enough that it's not necessarily going to keep you on your toes, but when you end up, because there's like a world map you have to get through and the boss fights aren't the most difficult
much,
thing.
It's very
much
RPG-esque. Oh, no. Yeah? Ish.
More like real old 2D platformers that would have, like, a hub world.
Yeah, hub world. Yeah. Sorry, that's where I'm going. I just went, like, old school. And
No.
Yeah, it's got a hub world sort of thing. So it's Mario Party-esque, I guess, with a board.
That,
so
or, like,
forward.
Super Mario 3 on, like, the original. Like, that's super old.
Super Mario RPG, there you go. That's where I was
at. Yeah, yeah. But when you're in between levels, sometimes there'll be characters being like, I need 15 flowers to let you pass. And you're like... You goddamn cheeky. Like, the same feeling that you have talking to Moneybags and Spyro. But
yeah, that sort of thing.
It's never too much that you're like, oh, I literally have to go back and hunt more flowers. Because they give you so many opportunities to dig them up that you're not really super shortchanged unless you're just trying to blast through levels and walking past flowers that are right there. Why would you do that?
It's like sitting there, like, grab it. Come on.
So, Yoshi's Crafted World is the Goldilocks of 2D platformers on the Switch. Because it really feels like that. Because I've reviewed Kirby with Adrian.
Yeah.
I reviewed Donkey Kong Country. Yeah. It was my first Donkey Kong game, which I got dragged for. Because I was the only child on the show then. Now we're all children.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is right in the middle. Like, you don't feel like you're hitting assist mode in Celeste. And you're like, I'm the worst at games. But you also don't feel super challenged. Yeah. And I feel like that kind of middle ground really means that Yoshi's Crafted World is, if you want a content-packed game that anyone can pick up, Yoshi's Crafted World, do it.
So what do you think, Kate? This is your first impression on Yoshi. What do you think?
Oh, I loved it. It was, I had the Yoshi on Yoshi's World on DS, was it? 3DS?
Oh, yeah. There was,
so, like, there's definitely a specific Yoshi feeling to games. Mm. Like, there's something very different about them and unique.
They're always artsy.
Yeah, absolutely. They're cute, they're fun, they're lighthearted, and I don't know, I like it.
They always make me hungry because it's, like, fruit colours and that sort of thing. Like,
yeah, damn.
It's always fruit. I'm like,
yeah, there's definitely a food theme in here that is not at all probably inspired by Candy Crush.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Yoshi definitely came before Candy Crush, so it's probably inspired by Yoshi.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they've probably taken the bright colours and such because, you know, in this day and age, with those children on those screens...
They're all going blind.
All going blind. So you got to get those bright colours, you know. Yeah.
They won't see it otherwise.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So it's
got a bit dark here.
Just a little bit. Look.
Switch.
Just, it's a good joke.
Yeah, basically.
Yoshi's Crafted World is available now on Switch at physical and on the eShop. Go and get it.
Yeah, get it. It's wholesome. Yeah. It's wholesome fun, even if you're a hardcore gamer.
Hardcore gamers.
Yeah. Sometimes you just want to lay down in bed and just play a little Yoshi to calm down at nighttime after you've been playing COD all day. And eating Cheetos.
I can't.
I'm judging you.
I feel upset picturing that in my head. Jeez.
A nice cheesy controller.
Yum.
On that note, that is actually the end of the show. Sorry to wrap it up like that.
I'm not.
Next week, I believe, might be Adrian's last week on the show. Because
he's leaving us.
He's leaving us. He's going to big boy town.
He's
How
gonna be a
dare
big boy.
He?
How dare.
But before he leaves, it should be next week, maybe the week after, but he's bringing a report on voice actors with Troy Baker.
I love it.
With Donna Burke, with a bunch of other voice actors. I'm so excited. It sounds so good, guys.
Yeah, I know, right? Look at that big boy doing big boy reports, getting a big boy job.
So that'll be, how dare he? That'll be coming next week, but that's it for this week. Thank you so much for hanging out.
Thank you.
We will see you guys next week.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Or before then on social media.
Or go to social media, of course.
Yeah, that too, please. Bye.
Bye.